Now, tell me, what is a flesh-eating bacterium? What does it actually do to eat flesh?
There are a number of different species of bacteria which are able to cause this horrific disease termed necrotizing fasciitis, where the bacterium can cause loss of large amounts of tissue. And the way it does this is through secreting enzymes which break down the connective tissue, and it also stimulates the immune system. And the immune system, rather than helping clear the infection, actually contributes to the damage. So you can get very severe tissue degeneration. And unfortunately, in many cases, the surgeons can remove the infected area, but sometimes it's so bad that amputation is the most effective treatment to actually avoid death.
So the flesh is almost dissolving.
It's quite horrific.
And does it occur quite commonly, this affliction?
It's not especially common. There was a period of hysteria in Britain in the 90s about this disease. It turned out that a lot of this was media-driven. The number of cases that were found during that year were similar to the number of cases in previous years. But one of the strange things is that the origin is not very clear, that this bacterium, many people are carriers of it, and what happens to cause this condition is not clear. It's not like there's a particular strain which necessarily leads to it in every case.
Your work reminded me of looking for, if you like, the Higgs boson of microbiology, looking at how the glue works. Just as the Higgs boson provides mass and to some extent binds small particles together, so similarly what you're looking at is the way that small creatures manage to somehow coalesce and have the glue within their systems.
Yeah, that's a very interesting analogy. I hadn't thought of it like that. I mean, the Higgs boson is universal and relates to all matter. The features that we study are actually not at all universal, and that's why people have only discovered it in the last few years. They're very specific to a certain class of bacteria, and within those bacteria, only a small proportion of the proteins actually contain this specific, what we might call a glue. But they're quite interesting because many of those bacteria are responsible for some very serious conditions, like the flesh-eating disease, as we discussed, but also the Staphylococcus aureus also has this glue within its proteins, and the causative agent of diphtheria, for example. So we can take this particular feature and apply it in new circumstances and create a kind of a glue that hasn't been seen before and apply it for mammalian systems.
So what they're trying to do, is this right, is to latch on to parts of the body from which our general system is trying to expel them. So if they're rushing through the pipes, they're trying to hang on and stay in the system. Is that right?
Yes, that's a part of it. So they're sending out these anchors which enabled them to latch on, and attaching to the lining of your throat is one of the first crucial steps in the infection cycle. And it's important that they can produce very strong, stable anchors. And the way they do this is quite different to the way that most organisms produce strong protein structures. And part of this may relate to the fact that many of these bacteria survive very well under very low oxygen environments. And if you have oxygen around, there's certain oxidizing chemistry which you're able to do to lock your proteins together, which these bacteria are unable to do. And so evolution has managed to come up with an alternative chemistry, an alternative glue to hold these proteins together.
And how are you making use of that?
What we've done is dissect these proteins. So rather than one half of the bacterium's protein sticking to the other half and the protein becomes locked together, what we've done is split this protein into two parts. We can do this genetically, so that when the two parts come together, then they form an irreversible lock. There's nothing you can do to break this linkage, which is quite different to the way that most interactions work in biology, where things are tuned to be easy to put together, easy to pull apart, because things are constantly changing in your cellular environment. And so we can create a lock which will never break, and that provides us with a new tool for targeting, which could be applied to drugs and other therapies, for example.
And in what way were the flesh-eating bacteria an inspiration, if you like, for this?
Well, this chemistry is actually very surprising, that no one thought this reaction would happen spontaneously. They're catalyzing something which would be very hard to do in a test tube. So learning from the chemistry that they're able to carry out and applying it in a new way, no one would have thought it would be possible until people started investigating the molecular details of how these bacteria function.
A way to subvert these killer bacteria by playing with their proteins. Mark Howarth lectures in biochemistry at Oxford and is a fellow of Worcester College, where Rupert Murdoch once studied and displayed portraits of Lenin.